Moncrief on News Talk
with the Dacia Duster. Shockingly affordable, and now with 3 months deferred payments too.
Yesterday we ran a piece about a vote later in the year to legalise magic mushrooms in Oregon. The idea being that its active ingredient, psilocybin, can be used in treatment for mental illness. And it turns out that it's being tested elsewhere around the world, including in this country. On the line is psychiatrist Dr. John Kelly. Afternoon, John.
Hi, Sean. Thanks for having me on.
Could you tell us something about the studies that you're carrying out?
Absolutely. Yeah, we're running a study in treatment-resistant depression, and we're looking at psilocybin-assisted psychotherapy. And this is a study with Trinity College and Tala Psychiatric Services, and in conjunction with Compass Pathways. So we have an ongoing study, and we have 7 participants who have received a dose of psilocybin in this particular trial thus far.
Now, obviously, the study isn't finished, but what were the indications that's prompting so much interest in psilocybin?
Yeah, so we're looking at treatment-resistant depression, which is sort of people who remain depressed after at least 2 trials of antidepressant medication and remain depressed after various talking therapies as well. And so people coming into our trial would either receive a 1 milligram dose or a 10 milligram dose or a 25 milligram dose of psilocybin. And this is all with psychological support. So people get 3 preparation sessions with our 2 psychotherapists, Christine Brennan and Lisa Burke, and they also get 3 integration sessions after the psilocybin dose. So the trial runs for 18 weeks in total, and our nurse coordinator is Annie Baker, who does most of the day-to-day work on the trial.
Now, if someone takes psilocybin, is it kind of like a trip? Do they have to remain in one place for a while?
Yeah, so it's a once-off dose, and people come in to us at 8 a.m., have a set breakfast, which is a light breakfast, and at 9 o'clock, they receive the capsules of psilocybin. And neither the person themselves nor the research team know what dose they're going to get. And we have a specific set-up psilocybin treatment room in Tala, and another one opening up in Blessington in the coming weeks. And I suppose peak effects would be 2 hours, but overall about 6 hours the experience would last for, and our therapists remain with the person for the entirety of the so-called trip. We don't really call it a trip,
yes.
But it's an ego dissolution. It's a transient ego dissolution. And that can be harnessed by psychotherapy to give people new insights and to reconceptualize restricted patterns of thought and behavior.
And so are there particular things you're looking for while they're taking the psilocybin, or is it what comes out afterwards?
Yeah, well, we encourage people to use eye masks so they really focus on the experience. We ask them to really stay present and to go with it as much as possible. And they listen to a sort of a set music list. So they're on a sort of an emotional journey and supported at every stage by our psychotherapists. And the psychotherapists really are non-directive and are there to help if anxiety gets too much for people. I can't comment on individual results. The results will be sort of summer 2022 probably with this trial.
Though, you know, if you have an individual, though, who has had, as you said, drug-resistant and talking therapy-resistant depression, would, you know, one dose of psilocybin and a couple of hours of a chat afterwards, could you see a difference then in them then that quickly? Or is that potentially possible? I'm not asking you to comment on any individuals, obviously.
Oh, you could, yeah. Preliminary evidence from Imperial in London looking at treatment-resistant patients, about 12 patients, have shown impressive antidepressant and anti-anxiety effects from this approach and from either a once-off or two dosing treatment strategy. So yes, it is possible. And I would say with this trial, people have to come off their medications very, you know, slowly at their own pace, and they're monitored meticulously by us to help them do that.
So what does psilocybin do to the brain that's different, say, from antidepressants?
Yeah, good question. Well, psilocybin's main action is on the serotonin system. So it acts at a sub group of serotonin receptors called the 5-HT2A receptors. And these are found, you know, throughout the brain, but mainly in the frontal cortex, prefrontal cortex, and some of the limbic areas. So it activates that receptor. That's the main pharmacological action of these of psilocybin, indeed all the so-called classical psychedelics. And then via neuroimaging studies, particularly recently in Imperial, they've shown that this has an effect on what's called the default mode network. And this is a brain circuit involved in self-reflective thoughts and depressive rumination. So it decreases this default mode network, or downregulates it. And that has overlaps with people who are experienced meditators. So there's an overlap there. And thereafter, it can change the neuroplasticity so that it can increase synaptic connections as well. Most of that work is done on rodent studies, but it's an evolving field, and new studies are coming out all the time to, you know, really unravel the neurobiology of this.
Wow. And so how would that compare then to a classic antidepressant?
Yeah, well, antidepressants work in a different way. So they really block the serotonin transporter, thus increasing serotonin between the synapses. So it is a different mechanism of action. It's thought to involve a different subtype, the 1A receptor. And really, the next study that we're going to do, which is going to start in 4 weeks, also in treatment-resistant depression, we're going to look at the effect of psilocybin in people who are taking selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. So that's never been done before. So that'll give us an indicator of whether we can have a positive effect of psilocybin with people who take and remain and choose to remain on their SSRIs.
This is fascinating stuff. The chap I was talking to in Oregon the other day said that it also has a potential to perhaps help with various addictions, like if you want to give up smoking, for instance.
Yep, so there's some convincing preliminary data looking at smoking and alcohol, and there are ongoing trials looking at opioid addiction, cocaine addiction, and even chronic pain, anorexia nervosa. So it's a sort of a trans-diagnostic therapeutic potential, because it's, again, you do set out an intention before taking the medication. And again, it's back to the overcoming of the restricted thoughts and behaviors. So anything, any disorders similar to that could be a candidate for this type of therapy.
Why, given that that these drugs, and LSD springs to mind as well, that these kinds of psychedelics haven't been used before or tested for potential potential medical use, why has there been such a long gap in doing this?
Well, there were many, many studies years ago, even 50s and 60s, but the methodology was poor. And nothing like the randomized control trials we do today. So none of them would stand up to the high standards of today's trials. And so there is actually a rich literature in 50s and 60s. And then, of course, it was made illegal. So only very few sites were still using it. And then, I mean, after this research embargo, people like Ronald Griffiths in the States started, and Grob, and they started using it in people with anxiety, related to their cancer diagnosis, and on also in healthy people as well. And that sort of increased the psychedelic renaissance that we're in at the moment.
Because I suppose the 60s probably gave it a bad name.
Well, absolutely. It's definitely not a case that everyone should be taking LSD and psilocybin. I mean, it's important to point out we engage in meticulous screening processes. So anyone with any sort of suggestion of psychosis, paranoid thinking, disordered thinking, bipolar disorder, most definitely this is not the strategy for them. And that's really important to emphasize, that it is for specific conditions.
Yeah. And are you still looking for people to take part in these studies?
Oh, we are. Yeah, we've had 7 people so far in the first study, and the next study we're just about to launch it. So we're very much keen to get people into us. Yeah, for sure.
And if anybody was interested in taking part, how would they contact you?
So you can get us through the Tala Psychiatric Department, or else I'll call out an email here.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, psilocybin@crp.healthcare.
Okay.
And Annie Baker, our nurse, will just give her a few days because she'll get back to you.
Right. Good stuff. John, thanks very much for speaking with us today. That was Dr. John Kelly there. He's a sub-investigator in that trial of psilocybin. The email address again is psilocybin@crp.healthcare. Psilocybin, it's spelled psilocybin. And I hope that doesn't sound patronising. I didn't know how you spelled it either, right? We'll take a break after that. Is Kulshi offensive?
Moncrief on News Talk.
With the Dacia range. Drive away today with no payments for the first 3 months.